I need all my books. I gotta go back and get my books. Welcome to worship. Welcome to All Saints Day. And welcome to the altar of the Lord, where all of us are equal guests and all are welcome to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. As you come today, I hope you'll know that it's not about us, about how we feel or how forgiven we are or how perfect we are, mercy. It is about the gift of grace in Jesus Christ, God's gracious gift. And so, as we begin our worship today, you are invited to the Lord's table when the time comes. Today is also the day we celebrate the communion of the saints. November 1st in the tradition of the church for the ages has been All Saints Day. And as you may know, and I think I've said to you, our Halloween celebration sort of piggybacks on that the night before as sort of an unholy version of the celebration. But the true All Saints Day, November 1, and as we come today to celebrate that, we give thanks to God for all of these who have come before us and gone before us. And these families and this church family are here today to celebrate with you the life of your dear one. So, there are announcements in our bulletin. I'm going to ask you to read those for yourselves, but to remember our chapels during the week, Little Ark Chapel and chapels at Oak Manor and at Drawn's Country Home Estates. And we have great things going on in the life of our youth ministry and in our scouting programs, and so we are actively involved in the life of this community, and all of us, because of the grace of Christ, are saints. So let us celebrate that and let us worship God together this morning. We celebrate life and family, especially children, and in community. We welcome all. So let us worship God together with our beginning with our choral call. Tyler? While we stand and turn to page 881 or use your bulletin for the words, let us unite in this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now we pass the peace of Christ with words like these. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with the love of the Lord. And now, as we continue our worship together, let the ushers come forward to collect up and present our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings as our act of worship and praise. So let us pray together. Holy God, we come before you this morning bringing our gifts, not just the dollars or coins or promises we may put in these offering plates, but our very gift of presence and our gift of praying for one another. To thee we commit all of these gifts, and we leave them at your altar for the sake of your people, your congregation, your saints. We love them as they love you, and we seek to remember them even as you help to inspire us to do so. God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
very back of your black hymnal, The Faith We Sing, number 2283.
Please take your seats.
And it's our custom to share together in this coming time of joys and prayer concerns. There are a few named in our bulletin this morning that I'll call your attention to. One is the victims and family members who suffered from the tragedy last weekend in Greenville, which we now know included at least some of our students from the university and from the Wesleyan campus ministry. None of them were harmed as far as we know, but they were, some of them, there and witnessed what happened. So we want to name all of those people that are grieving or have been injured, and we pray for we pray that we can avoid dark things like this in our community, and that in our world, which is so broken, we know that it's not going to be possible to avoid, even in our hometown. But we have to trust, and we trust in God who makes us and makes others, gives us free will, and sometimes we make a mess of that, don't we? But God also comforts us and gives us strength and hope and gives us something to aim for. And let us seek those things. Let us seek to aim for the light of Christ, the light of the world. And let our focus and our actions bring life and light to that witness. So we pray for all of our TAMU students and for the family of Lois Cranford, for Sammy Elwell and Tom Green, for Mary Means, who is recovering from a fall, and for Myra Terrell. Let us pray also for our world and our nation and for our leaders, for Glenna Anderson, Dennis's mom, and for Jean and Betty struggling, for Preston Helton, and for Donna Tavener as she is recovering. Many others listed there. I hope you'll keep these and name them in your prayers as we go forward. Let us remember all those who serve in our military. And also let us remember one another and hold each other up in prayers. Please contact the church office if you would like to have someone listed in our prayers. But as we go now to bow together, let us begin with silence and let us remember these persons whom we have named and all the special needs that come to our hearts. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you at this time knowing your grace and knowing the desperate need that our world has for that grace. Help us to recognize that that puts us right in the middle. That puts your disciples, us, as people of faith, as United Methodist brothers and sisters, as people of the church, it puts us right in the middle as agents of your grace in the world. Help us, O Holy One, to find ways to be bold with that grace, to highlight it in yellow, to point to it, to proclaim it, to celebrate it, but above all, to share it. God, that is the most important thing for which we could pray. We make that prayer for those who are hurting, those who are afraid, those who are lonely, those who have lost someone so dear to them that they cannot imagine life without them. God, as we come before you in prayers today, make it real to us that your saints are alive, that their memory is alive and lives on in us, and that their spirits are alive in you and live on in you. It's not just about remembering them, although that's a great thing to do. Let us not just recall their names and their deeds, but let us remember them. Let us give them life again as we follow in their footsteps and as we urge our children and grands to do the same. Let us find ways to honor our saints by letting them live on in us, not just in our past, but into our future. Oh God, we thank you for those around us who are our influencers, whether related or close friends, grandparents, or just dear friends, perhaps a Sunday school teacher, perhaps someone who served in the military. Oh God, help us to remember them, to give them life through remembering and doing it with a pound of gratitude to you, O God, for sharing their lives with us. And now, O God, this prayer and all of our other praying in these moments of silence and beyond, we leave at your feet, trusting all of our prayers and needs to your care. We love you and we thank you for loving us so dearly in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, you have set us free and knowing. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 149, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jim. And in addition to that, I would like to read from the New Testament, from Ephesians 1, 11 through 23. Listen to these words also for the word of the Lord. We have also received an inheritance in Christ. We were destined by the plan of God, who accomplishes everything according to his own design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. You too heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit because you believed in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance, which is applied toward our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's inheritance through and among believers. And what is that overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among all believers? This power is considered by the energy of God's powerful strength. God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him up from the dead and set him at God's right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power, any power that might be named, not only now, but in the future. And God put everything under Christ's feet and made him the head of everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, is the fullness of Christ, who fills everything and in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And it gives us a title for meditation today, Enough Light to See. That doesn't mean that we have it all together. It doesn't mean that we have all that we want. But it means that we have what we need. In a dark room, our eyes will eventually adjust to where we can see because we have, even though it seems like almost no light, we have enough. When I was much younger, I dabbled with photography, both black and white and color, and spent a little time with my friend Les Barnett in dark rooms where we processed film Sometimes in the total darkness, as you have to do when it's color film. With black and white film, you could use a little bit of a red light, a very dim red light, and it wouldn't fog up the film. I dabbled in that. I didn't stay with it much. I still love to take pictures, but we do that differently now with our pocket phones, right? We don't have to go to the dark room anymore, but sometimes it seems like our world is a dark place. And I hate to say that because I don't really believe it to be so. But if you play that back, I said sometimes it seems like a dark place. And when we are grieving, when we are disappointed, when we are hurt, when things just don't go right, we can lose our sense of orientation to the future and even to the present. And we can feel like we are in a dark room. Sometimes darkness results in fear. Are you afraid of the dark? No, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. Some of us are. Some of us are jumpy when things are dark and we're afraid somebody's going to harmlessly jump out from around the next corner, not hurt us, but scare the life out of us. Sometimes we live afraid. If you live by yourself, you know exactly what that means. When the house is quiet, you hear every creak, squirrels on the roof or pecans falling, and you wonder. Sometimes it seems like fear is all around us. You just have to listen to the news to find that so. Listen to the news like last weekend, right here in our own county. A fearful thing, frightful, unimaginably so. People dying, people being wounded as if on a battlefield in the darkness, not only of the night, but of the room that they were in. Makes you want to just plan to stay out of crowds. Might be a good idea. Sometimes we live in fear a little bit. We know that in the scriptures it teaches us perfect love casts out fear. And yet when we're grieving, when we're hurting, when we've lost someone so dear that we saw every day and cannot touch anymore, we can be afraid, we can be lonely, we can feel isolated. But I'd like to share with you that where two or three are gathered, even where one is alone, I think, the Spirit of the risen Christ is with us. We like to be in company. But even when we're by ourselves, we can know that at that table, Christ is beside us. If we are suffering, Christ is suffering beside us. If we are joyful, Christ is laughing with us. And some days we may find both ends of that spectrum in the same amount of daylight. Where do we look for light in those times when it seems dark? Well, I was going to share with you a story of a confirmation class I did many years ago, and I've enjoyed telling this story. It was at University Park United Methodist Church in Dallas, and we had a basement, a very large basement. It spanned the entire length of the educational building, and the basement itself had a basement where we had a basketball gym. A lot of people in the church didn't even know that basement was there. During my responsibilities there, one of them was confirmation training. And so one of the days of confirmation class, which we've got going on right now, thanks to Craig Jensen and others, and we've got a class of seven, really going well, and those kids are a delight to be with. But on this occasion, decades ago, I had a group down in that Family Life Center, and we were doing what's called a trust walk, where we put blindfolds on all the kids, and we made a long line and held hands and walked along, snaked around up and down steps, through doorways, into rooms where there was noise and rooms where there was complete silence. I had scoped it out, of course, ahead of time, and our eventual destination was a boiler room in the basement where there was a lot of darkness, a lot of machines and noises that were scary, and a whole room full of candles that we had set up in there ahead of time. And so the plan was to get this long line of kids that were blindfolded to that room and open the door and let them take their blindfolds off and find themselves in a room fully lighted with candles. It was, as I said, a boiler room, so it was a little spooky too, kind of like the early church gathering in the catacombs. So we held hands in a long chain. I think there were some 31 or 32 of us in that chain. And we shuffled along floors in the halls, floors in the rooms, and floors in the carpets of the youth center. I was leading the line, a long line of kids behind me and other counselors behind me. We were all holding hands. We got to that boiler room door, which was a metal door that I had locked so nobody would mess with our candles. And I reached my key out and approached the door. And when I got about 6 inches from that metal doorknob, I visibly saw a spark jump between that metal door and my keys. And in the line behind me, everyone jumped. And I was the only one that knew why. It was because we all just got electrocuted with static electricity. But what a way we had for many, many occasions after that to debrief what it means to be connected. To be connected so that when one hurts, another helps. To be connected so that we feel each other's presence in the times that are dark, the times that are boring, or in the times when we're all excited, even by a spark of electricity. It means something to be in confirmation training, and it means something to be in community where we share our commonness in the life of Christ. Commune and common are closely related. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus says, "There I am in the middle of them." When we hold hands, whether we cross them like the youth do or just hold hands the normal way, we are connected and we find that God's grace flows richly through us. This is the message of grace. This is the spark of hope that we share. This is the blessing of the Lord God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy and blameless, and makes us the same, not because of our goodness, but because of the gift and the grace of Christ. Because of Christ's love, His ransoming love on the cross. And because we are washed with ever-flowing grace, which comes from the wisdom and understanding that Christ poured over us. As we come to the table today, we celebrate with saints of the past, saints of this moment, and saints of the future. We celebrate that God has made us and that we are called to walk together, to influence one another, and to share together at this table where all of the saints commune. The table of heaven, where everyone is welcome, everyone is an equal guest, and where the very presence and power, sparking power of the Holy Spirit lives among us in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. So be it in Christ. Amen. I invite you to page 12 in our hymnals as we share together in the prayers for Holy Communion. And as you turn to page 12, I will remind you that all present here today are welcome to receive. Some say children don't understand it. Well, maybe they do better than we. Because in the simplest of terms, this means God loves you. And even our children know that. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Blessed are you, God of creation and all beginnings, God of Abram and Sarah, Miriam and Moses, God of all the priests and the prophets, the God of Mary and Joseph, and of our children to every generation. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, dying, and resurrection, you give birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and make with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread like this. And giving thanks for it, lifting it to heaven, he prayed over it and then broke it, saying to his disciples and to you and me, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And after their supper, Jesus took the cup. Also, and again, giving thanks for this cup and declaring it to be that which is his blood that is poured out for all the world, for you and me, until the kingdom comes. Jesus said, "Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and cup. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. We renew our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we now name before you. It is our desire to give thanks for the saints that you have given to our church family who have passed on since last All Saints Day. So I will read the names that we remember who are members of this congregation who have passed since last All Saints Day. But then I will pause longer for you to be able to name other family members or dear friends who may have died recently. Military service men or women who have died in your story. For these, we remember and give thanks to God, lifting them and trusting them eternally to God's care. I invite you, if you are able and wish to stand for the names of those whose memory is close to your heart. Fred Blom. Alan Martin. Tom Collier. Doris Kerbo. Lois Cranford. Gail Shumate. And Yupel Walker. Thank you. Now, as you remain seated, thank you. I would like to invite you. I know that you have names on your mind and in your heart. Perhaps folks that were not members of this congregation or of any church, but folks that you have lost in the past year or way, way beyond. And we're going to name those names kind of Pentecost style, where we whisper them aloud or say them loudly, knowing that God hears us even when we all pray together. So, when I lift my arms again in a moment, I invite you to name those saints of your past whom you remember today, whom you give thanks to God for, whom you still miss dearly, and whom you will see again one day when we all get to heaven. So, whispering or talking aloud, name your saints. Homer Caldwell, Edna Caldwell, Annie Jo Reeves. More? Their lives remain among us. Their spirits remain in our memory and in our being and in our actions. Let us never forget. And now, let us share together in the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray as people of His kingdom with all the saints of the church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So as our servers come to begin and then to serve you, I invite us all to focus upon this gift and declare that this is the body of Christ broken for you. Thanks be to God. And that this is the cup of Christ that is poured for you. Thanks be to God. The body of Christ.